Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on grace versus the law was recorded at our 2010 Minneapolis Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
The Old Testament law was to bring you to the end of yourself so that you would trust in Jesus as a Savior, but it was incapable of saving you. He goes on to say in the next verse, it says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace." Man, there's a lot in those verses. I got a bunch of verses to read. Let me just skip on. I pray that you will study that. That's powerful. In chapter 4, in verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which be of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect." It's showing you that the law did not ever put anybody in right standing with God. God didn't accept Abraham because he deserved it. Abraham did a lot of things wrong, right? Lied about his wife twice, was willing to let another man commit adultery with his wife to save his own neck. You know, sometimes we read over that in Scripture and people don't think about this, but if somebody wanted to come and take Jamie from me, and I said, "I've never seen this lady before. Help yourself. I'm looked the other way." And if something like that happened, I guarantee you it would be right for me to be scandalized over that. That's wrong. I'm not taking care of my wife. Abraham was wrong. Abraham didn't do it once. He did it twice. Abraham was a self-centered, fearful guy that had a lot of problems. He married his half-sister. It didn't take much to entice him to go into Sarah's handmaid. He was a willing participant. Abraham did a lot of things wrong. But you know what he did right? God said, "Count the stars in the sky," or "Count the grains of sand on the seashore. So shall your seed be." And Genesis 15:6 says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Did you know the word "counted" right there is the exact Old Testament equivalent of "imputed"? It was imputed unto him. God gave him, put it to his account, right standing with God. Not because he did things right, he did a lot of things wrong, but because he believed God. And it was faith that made him right with God, is what these verses are saying. In verse 15 it says, "Because the law works wrath. For the where there is no law, there is no transgression." This is saying that the Old Testament law releases wrath. If any of you feel like God's angry with you and upset with you, you know where you got it? Because you are under the Old Testament law mentality. You are still thinking that I've got to do these things to please God. Faith is what pleases God. I ministered in a church 20-something years ago. There was about 300 or 400 people there. And I said, "How many of you want to please God more than anything else?" Did you know out of 300 or 400 people, I think every hand in the place went up. And I said, "Now, how many of you really please God?" And out of 300 or 400 hands, there was 2 hands, a 9 and a 12-year-old kid. And I said, "No wonder you're depressed, discouraged, stressed, because your number one goal, you said, is to please God. And there's only 2 out of 300 or 400 that believe you do it." And then I began to start teaching on what pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." It's not your actions. God isn't pleased with you because you've done everything right. Some of you think, "Oh, but I'm doing things better than I've ever done." Compared to God's standard, there isn't a person in here that isn't missing it. You miss it all of the time. I've missed it this week. I have done things wrong. I say things. I offend people. There's not a person in here that does everything right. You miss it all of the time. Maybe compared to me, you might look good. But compared to God, God hasn't ever had anybody worthy working for Him yet. God's never had anybody qualified working for Him yet. From God's standpoint, none of us deserve anything. And you got to recognize that it's not your actions that please God. It's whether or not you put faith in Jesus. If you made Jesus your Lord, God looks at you through Jesus and He's pleased with you, regardless of whether you are. Some of you don't like your shape. Some of you don't like the way you look. Some of you don't like the way you act. You don't like the way you think. You've made mistakes here and there, and you get down on yourself. God sees you different than you see yourself. God is pleased with you when you're displeased with yourself. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You're always looking at everything wrong with you. God's looking at everything right. Again, you ought to get my teaching on spirit, soul, and body, because God is a spirit, John 4:24, and He sees you in the spirit, and in the spirit you're a new creation, and there is no sin. There is no inadequacy. You're perfect. You are as righteous and holy and pure as Jesus is in your spirit. And God is looking at you that way, and God's just thrilled with you. God thinks you're awesome. God carries your picture in His wallet. And you're going around thinking, oh man, I know I'm saved, but God's so upset with me, and you wonder why you aren't enjoying the benefits of your salvation. The law works wrath. Look in chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, in verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law was given to make the offense, sin, abound, to make it bigger. I've used my own self as a testimony. I didn't do as many sins as most people in this room, but you know what? The sins I committed were big to me. It just killed me. It destroyed me. I had more condemnation than some of you that were doing dope, adultery, just rebelling at God, hating God. Many of you never felt as guilty and condemned and sinful as I did. The law makes the offense abound, but where sin abounds, grace abounds greater. But the law made sin abound. Look in Romans chapter 6 in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Let me turn it around and say it this way. If sin is having dominion over you, you aren't under grace. You're under law. Law strengthens sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The law made sin abound on the inside. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. If you are not victorious over sin, if it seems like there are sins that just dominate you and you can't seem to shake it loose, you are not under grace. God has put you under grace, but you haven't accepted it yet. You're still operating under law, because the law is what works wrath. The law makes sin come alive. The law strengthens sin. It makes sin abound. And you will have dominion over sin if you are under grace. But if you are under law, then sin will have dominion over you. I know some of you think, well, this is opposite everything I've been taught. This is what the Bible says. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. For what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. But notice, he says, we are not under the law. What part of we are not under the law do we not understand? And yet I can guarantee you, if I hadn't led up to this and been reading these scriptures, if somebody would have caught you out on the street and says, are you under the law? Do you have to keep the law? The vast majority of you that are here, the fanatics, Friday night, would have said, oh yeah, we are not under the law. Look in chapter 7, in verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We are dead to the law. What part of dead to the law do we not get? The next verse. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, the motions of sin. You could say that the law allowed sin to operate. It gave life to it. The motions of sin, the actions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The law produced death. We already read that, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But now we are delivered from the law. What part of delivered from the law do we not understand? We are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, talking about our old man, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Now see, some of you might think that I'm saying, well, the law is sin. No, the law isn't sin if you'll use it correctly. 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it's verse 9, says, "We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing that the law isn't made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, for the disobedient, for whoremongers, adulterers, etc." Who's righteous? Any person who's born again is the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He made him," God the Father, "made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." When you get born again, you are the righteousness of God. The law is not made for a righteous man. If you are born again, the law isn't for you. The law is for people who are not in the covenant, to show them their need for a Savior, and so that they will forsake trying to please God by their own actions and will accept salvation as a gift. Here's an illustration of what we're talking about that I ministered in Houston one time, and it was in a hotel, and there was about 300 people or so in this meeting. And there was a drunk that was walking by, and he heard the meeting, and he stood at the back for a while, and then he came in. And in the middle of my preaching, he just stood up and started yelling at me. And I tried to respond to him, and he was incoherent. He was drunk or either high on dope or something. And finally, I just commanded him, "Sit down and shut up in Jesus' name." And he just plopped right down. And I went on and finished the service. And then after the service, he came up to the front, and I started telling this guy about the goodness of God. And I said, "Look, brother, I don't know what's wrong with you, but God loves you. God can set you free. God can get you delivered from the dope or from the alcohol. You could be a new person." And I started telling him about the goodness of God. And this guy said, "I am God." He says, "I am God." And he got off on this weird whatever he was into. And you know what? This guy needed to realize that he wasn't God. So you know what I did? I took the law like a club, and I beat this guy to a pulp.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on grace versus the law. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Minneapolis Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM241C for CD or RM241D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to become a part of what God is doing here in Colorado Springs. This is where we're training our Bible college students, and they are literally going around the world. I'm convinced that this is how God has ordained that we change the body of Christ, is through discipleship. And that's what we're doing. We're building a headquarters where we can have a campus with 3,000 students. And to do that, it just takes a lot of money. God has supplied us with a beautiful acreage in Woodland Park that we're calling the Sanctuary. And we're calling the people who help us accomplish this project and raise up a first-class Bible college campus, our foundation builders. I ask you to pray about it and then call and become a foundation builder today.